Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's the Full Press NFL Podcast, and it is divisional round week in the NFL, as there are just the four games going on this weekend, which are going to decide who goes to the conference championship round. So, Braden, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is in near where you live. I don't know. Actually, it's probably definitely afternoon at this point, unless you're on the West Coast. So, how are you doing today, and excited for this next round of football?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, and really can't complain after the wild card weekend that we had. I thought, based on the beginning of some of the games, it was going to be kind of a stinker weekend, but really pretty entertaining. And the NFL just seems like they never fail to deliver drama in those late moments, and we saw plenty of that last weekend.
Yeah, it feels like we kind of got the stinkers with the bookends this weekend. We started with a stinker and ended with a stinker, but everything in between was very, very entertaining. And that's what we're here today to discuss, is recapping wildcard weekend. We have our Full Press NFL Sunday show airing this Saturday morning, if you're listening to this, where we will preview that day's games and, of course, Sunday's. But this is about this past weekend, and we'll start with the last game that we saw, because it's probably fresh in everyone's mind, and that was the Cowboys' absolute thumping of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was a fitting end for a Buccaneers team that just did nothing well this entire season. I was watching this game, and this speaks volumes to how bad I think they were this past Monday, because this entire season was a mess. Yet on Monday, I felt it was maybe 10 times worse, because it looked like they hadn't practiced and prepared at anything at all heading into this game. They looked, and I said it on Twitter, everyone was talking about Ryan Jensen's first snaps of the season. Well, this entire team looked like they were taking their first snaps of the season on Monday, and it was bad.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing where I guess maybe still living off of that Super Bowl high from a couple of years ago. It just seemed like some of the players that really haven't maybe been in that spot as often as Tom Brady maybe just didn't have the same, I don't know, same drive. I mean, Mike Evans is definitely one that kind of stands out. Obviously has had a great career to this point, but just seems like a lot of plays he either didn't really know what was going on, or obviously just wasn't on the same page, and you see just how little help Brady really got from his skill guys offensively Monday night. And you know, the other side of it, I think, with the defense is, you know, losing some of the guys they lost either due to injury with Shaq Barrett, or, you know, free agency from last year, Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul. It just seems like the kind of development for the defense is something that was quietly lacking all season long, and just really a lot of mental mistakes from those younger guys on defense.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this was a team that, you know, for a large stretch during the season, pretty much post Kansas City until midway through December, didn't create a single turnover, and it's almost, there's a lot of grotesque numbers from this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that makes you kind of shake your head and wonder. That's one of them. Another was something that they had only converted three third and longs, third and 10 plus the entire season, which, again, that seems almost impossible, but makes sense based on what this team is. And look, there's a lot of examples, and this isn't a pile on Mike Evans or anyone in particular, but to your point, like, whether it's coaching, situational awareness was down on this team. And I'll point to a play specifically at the end of the second half or the first half, where the Buccaneers were moving the ball, and, you know, there were 5 seconds left on the clock. They had zero timeouts, and they were in a situation where they could have realistically maybe got a quick play and, you know, maybe had a chance at a field goal. It was an incomplete pass. Brady threw out of bounds. But what got me was, Mike Evans ran a route, a comeback route, that basically put him 7 yards from the sidelines, which, again, 5 seconds left, no timeouts, and you're running a comeback route 7 yards away from the sidelines. Whether that was a Mike Evans gaffe or a coaching gaffe. I tend to believe it was a Mike Evans one, because Brady threw the ball to a spot, which was on the sideline where he should have been. Those are mistakes that shouldn't happen midway through the season, let alone during a playoff game. And we saw that throughout the year between him and Evans, Brady and Evans, just a disconnect. And like I said, I mean, if you're going to ask me who am I going to give the benefit of the doubt to in most situations, well, it's probably Tom Brady. And in that case, I think it was very evident that, yeah, he kind of ran the wrong route, or just the awareness wasn't there to get to the sidelines given the situation.
Yeah, and it just seems like, I guess, from Brady's perspective, you know, there's a lot of times where I think it's like he's kind of two steps ahead of everybody else on offense. And
yeah,
I think that's kind of what really stood out to me at the end of that first half, is he's kind of waiting for these guys, you know, to kind of do something maybe he's expecting, and something that they've probably shown, you know, over the past couple of years. But it's just something that, again, it's just, I don't know if it's just lack of awareness, or if some of those other guys were maybe thrown off by the Dallas defense. We know how exotic they can be. But it was just one of those nights where whatever they tried to do, it just was not going to be able to defeat what Dallas was kind of throwing at them, combined with, you know, Brady only being able to do so much himself.
Well, and one of the interesting stats that came out of this game was, I believe it was PFF who tracks covered and uncovered wide receivers, kind of, you know, just the ability of the offense to create open areas of the field for the players to make plays. Dallas, and this is remarkable, Dallas had a perfectly covered percentage of 60% against the Buccaneers. By far the best that weekend, you know, based on all the other games that happened. And they said something like the league average is somewhere in the mid to low 30s. So, and this is something that I would like to, I got to take a look at those numbers for the entire season, because I can't imagine they vary too much throughout the year. This was a team that just didn't know how to scheme. And this is why, ultimately, yes, there were injuries. Yes, there were players that left. I mean, Brady, no, this was not his best season, but it certainly wasn't awful or something that, you know, would make you think, oh yeah, he definitely has to retire. That's more of a media-driven narrative than anything. The reality of it was, this was a poorly coached team from the get-go. They were unprepared. Early on, they were committing stupid penalties. They did so throughout the year. Again, they looked like they were not, they hadn't practiced at all week. I go to the interception by Tom Brady, which was a bad pass, which I think based on watching the play, I think he was trying to throw it out of bounds in the back of the end zone. He just didn't get it there.
Right.
But I couldn't help but keep watching what happens with everyone else but Brady on that play. Because if you watch that play back, you see every single skill player of the Buccaneers in various degrees of effort come together basically in the same spot of the field. And if you're Tom Brady and you see all three of your wide receivers essentially on the same letter in the end zone, where are you going to throw the ball to? And again, this speaks to just not being prepared. Like, how can you make these type of mistakes in these type of moments in the playoffs? These are problems that you work out in the preseason and early on, not week 19, week 20. And this is unfortunately a problem that just plagued the Buccaneers all season, and it really came to a head against a team that remarkably couldn't turn the ball over after being unable to not turn the ball over for the better half of the last 2 months.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason I picked Tampa Bay to win the game, is really the just inefficiency that Dak Prescott had showed over the last month of the season. And it wasn't just turnovers. I think Troy Aikman kind of detailed it maybe best during the Monday night broadcast, just how fast kind of the game was for him right now, decision-making and the processing up front. And obviously that can affect his throwing base and, you know, lead to those off-target throws. So I was really surprised how Dak kind of handled the moment, even just other times kind of using his legs, escaping pressure. And it just looked like everything was so easy for him on Monday night. So I don't know if that's so much a problem with Tampa Bay's defense necessarily. I think there was also a lot of good throws where they were just in the perfect spot. So I think it's just more of Dak really executing and showing us something we hadn't really seen over the last month.
Well, to really bring things full circle, I brought up the perfectly covered percentage statistic. The Buccaneers defense was at the bottom of the list. So it couldn't have been a more perfect symmetry of just awful football from the Buccaneers on Monday. So it may be the Cowboys, but I'll ask you this: outside, you know, who had the most impressive performance team wise this weekend? Because we had a lot of very close games outside of this one on Monday, and of course the first game of the weekend. But what was the most impressive team in your mind coming out of this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's honestly got to be the Giants. As much as Dallas, I think, dominated, I think obviously a lot of people thought the Giants could win their game against the Vikings.
Believe we both picked them. So I want to give us both credit, you know, pats on the back here.
Yeah, I think it wasn't just that they had success. I think it just really looked easy. And for a guy like Daniel Jones, who, had kind of been made into a meme his first few years in the league, just to see, I think, the coaching, you know, aspect of it and just getting these guys to kind of play to their strengths, along with just, like I said, kind of how easy and how dominant they looked. I know defensively there was a few gaffes, but I think the Giants just really impressed me. And now having a third division matchup against the Eagles, I don't know how many people were giving them a chance, but I think they definitely are going to test Philadelphia more than I think some people think.
Yeah, because, you know, look, there we talked about it last week. You know, this is a gritty team that, you know, this isn't – I don't think it's the 2007 Giants, but, you know, they have a comparable type team makeup, you know, with strong defensive front, strong coaching. That's something that I think, you know, obviously got underestimated at first with Tom Coughlin maybe by some. Mostly Patriots fans and myself included. Obviously, that did not work out for Patriots fans in 2007. But this Giants team, again, you can't dismiss divisional round matchups and the absolute absurdity that could come from them. So not only do I think in a vacuum the Giants can compete with Philadelphia, you add in the divisional aspect and that wrinkle, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't really know what to expect. Because, you know, there's no teams in the league that know you better than your divisional rivals. And you turn up the heat a little bit in the postseason. And if you're Philadelphia, a team that, you know, from wire to wire was the best team in the league, there's a lot of pressure, especially for a team who I know there's still some, obviously, that were there from the Super Bowl win a few years back. But You're talking about almost an entirely different team, so you can't really draw off that like, say, Kansas City could do or you know, New England in the past, where obviously, you know, they won a Super Bowl all the time, so they can always build off that. But Philadelphia can't, so all of a sudden, you're the pressure's on. Giants are playing with house money here. I don't see them as having any sort of added pressure going into this game other than we are way ahead of where we want to be. And that's not a bad thing because, you know, this isn't going to hurt them at all, win, lose, or whatever.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with Philadelphia, too, is just there's certain teams I think that the bye week affects them differently. I think you look at some of the last few years, the Ravens in 2019, the Titans, I think it was last year, obviously didn't come through after having that first round bye. Philadelphia is kind of a weird case where didn't have the most health at the end of the season. Obviously, Jalen Hurts, we know Lane Johnson is playing banged up right now. So I don't know if they're maybe going to be out of rhythm necessarily from having the bye week itself. I think they necessarily needed it. They definitely needed it, I think, from a health perspective. But this is also a team that really hasn't had the rhythm that they had early in the season, at least since probably early December, too.
Yeah, and that's a good point as well. So and look, I mean, I think there was a sigh of relief when Jalen Hurts comes back and you win that last game of the season, but again, you're not at your peak like you were earlier in the season. And Philadelphia is really kind of facing adversity for the first time all year. You know, outside of, you know, week to week your matchup adversity, but like real, like, okay, all season again we've been talking about them as, you know, they were 12-1, 13-1, so on and so forth. Well, now it doesn't matter what that record is. And now you're coming in having not had your complete arsenal of weapons, Jalen Hurts most notably, for really the better half of a month. So, or even more so than that, because again, week 18 is week 18, but you still missed two games. You lost both those games. Jalen Hurts, again, is, you know, take another week off to help get healthier, but they're going to have to work out some kinks, and you better hope, if you're an Eagles fan, that it doesn't take them long to kind of regain their footing, because the Giants are a team that can take advantage of that.
And I guess one more thing, I guess, from that Giants-Vikings matchup, it just, the Vikings are a really interesting team in that they obviously had a new head coach, new GM this year, but really didn't make a lot of outside additions. So it's kind of an interesting team where I kind of expect them to maybe overcorrect that going into next season. We'll see, you know, if Kirk Cousins can kind of continue to improve the way I think he did this year, at least from an all-around game management type perspective. And it's just, it's a unique team where their defense, I think, was 26th in total yards allowed, or maybe 28th. So it's definitely a team that reminds me of the 2018 Chiefs, where their defense was kind of the biggest Achilles heel. But definitely a team that I think division wise, they still have a chance to get back there and win that next year. It's just so much luck. So overwhelmingly lucky with those one score games. And you're going to likely see that regress back to the mean next season.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. That's something we've questioned all year. And look, we both, like I said earlier, picked the Giants and thought this was a pretty easy upset to pick, and came to fruition. So both Cincinnati and Buffalo will be facing off this Sunday, but both teams, you know, they won their wild card matchup, but it wasn't as comfortable as a victory for either team that we expected. So I'll ask you, is there any cause for concern for the Bengals, the Bills, both, or neither of them? Because I don't know if I want to think too much about, you know, the wild card matchup, especially since they were, like I mentioned earlier, divisional round matchups. I'm not going to put too much stock into that. But is there anything that kind of caught your eye that says, well, maybe Buffalo needs to be concerned, or maybe Cincinnati needs to be concerned?
Yeah, I don't think either of the teams are perfect, and it's similar to Kansas City, but I think if there's one team that I'm a little more concerned about right now, or I don't even know if it's concerned, I think it's maybe just their style of play last week really kind of caught me off guard, and that was Buffalo. I think it was, I can't remember the exact percentage, but Josh Allen had a lot of attempts down the field that were over 15 plus yards, and we're not necessarily used to seeing this be a consistently vertical passing offense. And for a team outside of Stephon Diggs that really is, you know, lack consistency at wide receiver, they do run the football, I think, a little bit better this year. But I think just since Josh Allen's had his elbow injury, for the most part, the decision making's been a little bit more, you know, off here and there. And there's a lot of times where I think you're just seeing those kind of old mistakes of early career Josh Allen being maybe a little bit, you know, too over aggressive or out of his element at times. And there's a lot of times, I think, just with the pocket awareness, that was something that really surprised me when Miami wasn't really adding much extra pressure. So I think from an offensive standpoint, it's just a little bit different style of football Buffalo's playing with right now than maybe what we saw most of the season. So I will see if they can kind of continue to hit on those deep shots. And if not, I think it's going to take just a lot better decision-making, obviously, and better pocket awareness from Josh Allen here and there.
Yeah, and that I would definitely agree with you that, you know, overall, I don't think there's anything alarming other than, you know, turnovers. And that's been kind of, to your point, an issue for Allen since, you know, the elbow injury. And there's been some more moments where there's a lot more Brett Favre in him sometimes than we think. And which is good, which is a good thing at times, but
right.
But when you're going up against other teams that can score and produce offense at similar, if not better, rates in Kansas City or in this case Cincinnati, you can't afford to make mistakes like that. The gap in their offense and those other two teams, it doesn't really exist. They're all, you know, I look at Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati really kind of being so evenly just across the board. You know, some teams do things a little bit better. You know, each team does something a little bit better, but for the most part, I mean, they're they're the three best teams in the AFC. So you cannot, if you're Buffalo, you cannot have a 3 or 4 turnover game. You just cannot do that, or you are not seeing the third round. You will not. You'll see Cincinnati go to Kansas City. So, yeah, I'm right there with you when it comes to, if there's one concern, it's the turnovers, and really nothing other than that. Like, clean those turnovers up, be a little bit smarter with the football, and stop playing so hero-like, because Buffalo is capable of winning low-scoring games. You don't have to be this offensive juggernaut, and I think sometimes they feel like they need to, and it gets them in trouble. So, all right, last but not least, the Jacksonville-LA game, which I don't even know, like, the Chargers, as far as we know right now, all they're doing is getting rid of Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator, which I think is a mistake. I think, you know, they need to do whatever they can to get Sean Payton in there. But it doesn't seem like that might be a realistic option, whether Sean Payton doesn't want to, which I don't see why he wouldn't want to. Or the more obvious answer is probably the ownership just doesn't want to pay for another coach. So guess what? You're getting Brandon Staley again and a new offensive coordinator. Do I think that's going to fix their problems? No, it's going to be the same old Chargers next year. Just like we saw this year, this was a team that at time flashed talent, and you know, the expectations were high coming into the season. They kind of crumbled a little bit under those expectations, and you know, injuries again kind of affected this team, but there's too much talent across the board for them to not only underperform in the regular season, but then build a 27-0 team against a kid making his first playoff start, a very young, overachieving Jacksonville team, and somehow lose that game. That was just mind-blowing to me. And I thought, because I said it before, that the best thing for the Chargers would be to possibly to lose and not win so you could get rid of Brandon Staley. I thought for sure the moment that game ended, he was out the door, because how do you blow that lead on top of everything else? But here we are, and it's nearly, you know, 5-6 days later, and it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So what were your impressions of both the Chargers and Jacksonville coming out of this game? Because obviously the Chargers, you know, pretty intimately from being in the AFC West, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are a team that you will learn quite a bit about in just a few days as they head to Kansas City.
Yeah, I guess starting with the Chargers, it's obviously the talent. It's always going to, I think, be something that LA is going to be able to kind of stay in games with, is some of that top end talent. But I think what I really kind of took away from this one is just the depth that they're truly lacking. I think despite all their top end name value talent, I think really both trenches are really lacking right now. And I think they're going to have to find a way to add another top end receiver, whether it's free agency or the draft this season, just because you never really know if Mike Williams or Keenan Allen are going to be healthy for a full season. So I think it's kind of just the depth kind of combined with those, you know, coaching mistakes of Brandon Staley. And I think the biggest thing is for Justin Herbert, it was kind of one of those performances, I think, for him where I don't really think he was necessarily the biggest to blame, but I was really surprised that he kind of was less aggressive and not, like we kind of talked about Josh Allen being over aggressive. I don't think his kind of aggressiveness is the same as other quarterbacks. I think he's usually pretty even keel, but it just seemed like he was even very hesitant to pull the trigger at times in this game. So I think that's kind of the biggest things I have with the Chargers. And for Brandon Staley from coaching, I mean, we just kind of talked about the Giants, and I think one thing that Brian Daboll's done really well is really tried to focus, obviously, on the side of the ball he knows best on offense, and kind of just a gift that fell out of the sky, basically, with Wink Martindale and the Ravens not agreeing to, you know, keep their relationship going for 2022. I don't think the Giants could have ended up with a better defensive coordinator. So I think for Staley, he's just got to kind of maybe focus on what he knows best and maybe be a little bit more of a CEO compared to, like, you know, what he's been so far. So I think that's the biggest things with the Chargers for me from this game. For the Jaguars, I mean, I think we just kind of talked about the depth of LA maybe lacking. There's, I think, a lot of things that just flies under the radar for Jacksonville. I think this is a pass rush that's very deep and very fast, and I think that's that's something I was kind of writing for an article for today, is just the Chiefs in the past have really struggled with speed, with opposing pass rushes. And despite some guys being a little bit more dense, this is just a pass rush that I think comes at you in different ways. And I think that's something that you saw late in this one against the Chargers. And offensively, it's just, I think seeing guys that have really kind of grown to their full potential or started to really become budding stars offensively. And maybe that's aided a lot by the coaching of Doug Peterson. But you see guys like Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Engram right now, really, really finding their groove. So I think it's just a combination of every part is pretty much working for Jacksonville. And really it's really kind of overachieving in certain spots, but just all that depth and those parts are kind of coming together at the right time.
Yeah, it could be another Josh Allen that's wreaking some havoc this weekend in Kansas City. So that's going to do it for us here today. Like I said earlier, we will be live on Saturday morning ahead of obviously Kansas City and Jacksonville, and of course New York and Philadelphia later in the night. And then on Sunday, it's Cincinnati, Buffalo, and then a throwback to the 90s with Dallas and San Francisco, which should be pretty, pretty entertaining. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please give us a follow at Full Press NFL. And, of course, go over to fullpresscoverage.com to check out all the latest and greatest. So thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.